In the sixth and seventh chapters of Acts, we read how the disciples gathered, chose seven men for the work of God, one of whom was Stephen. And we read in chapter 6 and verse 7 that the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And Stephen says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken." And he goes on to give an account of how God chose Abraham and called him out of the land of the Chaldeans and led him forth to a land that he promised. And how Abraham had Isaac, and then how Isaac had Jacob. How Abraham was given the covenant of circumcision, and how Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. 12 patriarchs sold Joseph into Egypt. Joseph in Egypt was cast into prison, unfairly accused, but became ultimately a ruler in Egypt in a time of famine. This led, as we know, to Jacob and his family moving to Egypt and to the Hebrews multiplying in Egypt until they came under the rule of a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, that was not favourable to the Hebrews, and who brought them under great persecution. God then raised up Moses in their midst as one who would deliver them. But at first he was rejected by those whom God would use him to deliver. The Hebrews cast him out. They said unto him, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses fled and went to land of Midian, where he dwelt there for 40 years, until that day when in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush appeared unto him. And the Lord spake unto Moses and told him what he would do, that he would send him to Egypt, that the Lord had heard the groaning of his people. He had seen the affliction of my people, God says. He emphasizes this twice. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. How strongly this is emphasized, God knows. He knew what was happening to them. He would deliver them. So he sends Moses to Egypt to deliver them. And by his mighty hand, by the hand of God, Moses leads the people forth. A people who had first rejected him. Stephen reminds his hearers of how Moses was given the law in Mount Sinai and the customs which they would follow. For how Moses had preached and prophesied of a prophet to come, of whom he was a figure, but who would truly deliver God's people. Moses was sent as a prophet to declare unto the Hebrews the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the Hebrews at the time first encountered Moses, they rejected him, as they would later reject Christ. Stephen goes on to remind the people of King David, and how David wanted to build a house for the Lord, but how his son Solomon built him that house. But Stephen says in verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Stephen goes on and speaks directly to his accusers. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And they stoned Stephen, who was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. They stoned him. They slew him. They murdered him, as they had betrayed and murdered Christ, the Just One, before him. They rejected Stephen as they had rejected Christ, and as their forefathers had rejected Moses. Yet this people's rage and accusation against Stephen and the disciples who came preaching the gospel was that Stephen and the other apostles and disciples were preaching a message which undermined, which destroyed and attacked Moses. We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. They condemned him because they said he spake against Moses. And so they set themselves up as those who supported Moses, and supported Moses' message and Moses' customs and the law. And yet the reality was that their forefathers, when they heard Moses, rejected him, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? They cast out Moses. And if this generation had been alive in the day of Moses, they too would have cast out Moses. But here they are pretending to be the friends of Moses. Now the reality is that what they defended was not what Moses preached. What they supported was not what Moses brought in, but was their corruption and their misunderstanding, their blindness in the religion, in terms of the message that Moses came with. They took the form that Moses commanded. They took the outward rituals of the law. They took the commandments of the law. And they saw the keeping of these things as that which is important. When the reality was that the message that Moses came with, the message to be seen in those commandments of the law and those rituals of the priesthood and the sacrifices, was a message which pointed unto Christ, the very same Christ which this people had betrayed and murdered. Moses came preaching of a prophet to come, yet they never heard that message from Moses. They simply heard the commandments of the law, which they were zealous to keep. They simply saw the outward rituals of the sacrifices, which they were very careful to follow. They simply saw the glory of the outward priesthood and the temple, which they would defend with their lives. But they never saw him of whom Moses spake. As with them in their generation, so too with many today in our generation. What is the central message of this account regarding Stephen? What is the central message of the whole book of Acts? What is the message of the scriptures? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the grace of God which brings salvation. It is the contrast between grace and law. Between that true religion of God, which is of God, promised by God, wrought by God, brought to pass by God, all of grace, that true and everlasting salvation, contrasted with the outward form of religion, either in the physical or in the words or in the head, which never penetrates the heart within. This generation thought that they served God. They kept the law, they had the scriptures, they had the priesthood, they were very zealous for what they thought were the things of God, and yet they never saw in those things what those things pointed to. They never saw that the sacrifices were appointed to the one sacrifice for sins forever. They never saw what the Passover pointed to, the Lamb of God. They never saw who the prophet was of whom Moses spake, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They never saw what the temple was a figure of, the body of Christ and the house of God. They never heard. They never saw. They heard with the outward ear. They were zealous in their religion. They did everything carefully. As Saul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, as touching the things in the law, touching the things concerning the law without blame. Oh, they kept all the rituals, all the feasts, all the sacrifices. Their priesthood was very careful to dress exactly as Moses prescribed and to do the things on the right dates at the right times in the right manner. Nobody knew the scriptures as well as they did. They studied, they understood. But they saw nothing. And when the reality of what those things pointed to came before them, when the prophet of whom Moses spake, when the sacrifice which those sacrifices was a picture of stood before them, when Christ came into their midst, when Christ came unto his own, this people, they rejected him. And when Stephen came preaching Christ, they rejected him too. Generation after generation, prophet after prophet was sent unto this people by God. And each one that came, they raged against. And they turned from. And they cast them out. And they murdered them. They trampled their message underfoot. Far from being those who truly defended Moses, they hated those who came in the spirit of Moses. Far from being those who truly defended the things of God, they hated all those who were sent of God, who spake of God and loved God. Far from being those who defended the temple, they could never see past the physical temple in Jerusalem to that of which the temple was a figure. Far from being those who served God, they were those who hated God. And there are many today in the same shoes who say, we believe the prophets of old. We are zealous for the things of God. We've got the scriptures. We follow the reformers. We know the way. Who reject any who come preaching the grace of God, which brings salvation. If they had been alive at the time of the reformers, this generation would have cast out the reformers. But the reformers are dead and buried, as Moses was dead and buried. And like this generation that came pretending to be Moses' friend and hating all those who came with the same message that Moses had, they too pretend to be the reformers' friend, and any who come preaching the grace of God and justification by faith they cast out, mixing up their words to bring the law back upon their hearers. They accused Stephen of being against Moses. And their generation today accuses any true preacher of grace as being against Moses, against God, and against the law. Because they think that these things need to be kept. When the rituals that Moses brought in by God's command, when the outward form of the law, when the commandment of the law was sent for a reason to point us unto Christ alone, and having sent us to Christ, to leave us with Christ, not have us return back to the law again, as though Christ is insufficient. They accused him of being against the law, of being against Moses, of being against God. Why? What did Stephen preach? What did the apostles preach? What did the disciples preach that brought that accusation? He preached the gospel, showing that God dwells not in buildings made of hands, not in the temple in Jerusalem, but he dwells in the hearts of his people. Stephen preached the words of Christ, who said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days, speaking of his body. The temple in Jerusalem was but a picture of the house of God, built and founded upon Christ as the chief cornerstone. The people of God are described in the epistles in Ephesians as lively stones built up upon the foundations of the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. This is the temple. And when they took Christ and slew him, they destroyed the temple of his body. But he raised it up again in 3 days. They destroyed him, and his people died with him. But he and his people rose up again from the grave on the third day. This is the temple of God. They accused Stephen of speaking against the temple. Stephen preached what the temple is. Stephen preached that the law was given to show us our sin and our need to be delivered of our sin. The commandments of the law, all the commandments, were given to show us that we're full of sin and that we cannot keep it. As he said unto these his accusers, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. They never kept the law, their fathers never kept the law. None can keep the law except the Just One. And the law was given to show unto man that he cannot keep the law, to show unto you and I that we cannot keep it. O you today who are zealous for the law, zealous for sanctification by the law, zealous for justification by the law, whatever it be, whatever you claim, you who are zealous for the law, do you not hear the law? You cannot keep it. It condemns you. The law is only fulfilled in Christ through his blood, which was shed in the place of sinners. Stephen preached what the law's sending forth was for. He preached why God sent it. And he preached its effects. And he preached how the sacrifices instructed in the law, given unto Moses, were given to show that we needed to offer up a sacrifice for our constant breaking of that law. And how those sacrifices were a picture of the one sacrifice which must be offered, because the blood of bulls and of living things could not atone for sin, but the blood of the Son of God could. One who is both divine and man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, God come in the flesh, his blood, his sacrifice could deliver us. Because he came as a perfect man, a sinless man, who could bear the sins of others and take them away. And in so doing, he delivered a guilty people from the condemnation of the law. Stephen preached law as pointing to the gospel. He preached the fulfillment of the law, the promise of the law, the reason for the law, the purpose of the law. He preached Moses as Moses pointed unto Christ. But when grace comes, when faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. As Paul points out in Galatians. And as Paul points out also, I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the law? No, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. For righteousness does not come by the law. It comes through the death of Christ. It comes through the faith of Christ through his death. He offered up himself, believing and knowing that God through his death would sanctify all of his people through him. He would justify them, imputing the righteousness of God unto them through his shed blood. And he would cleanse them and sanctify them in that blood and make them perfect before him. And such was the faith of Christ rewarded for all that God promised to do in laying the sins of his people upon him. As he suffered and died in their stead came about, they died with him. Their sins were washed away and blotted out, and they were buried with him, and they rose again with him the other side of death and the other side of the reach of the law. For the law had one thing to say unto a guilty people, thou must die. And its sentence was brought down upon their Saviour, upon the sacrifice, once and for all. And having brought down the sentence, the law was answered. The law has no more to say. Having risen again the other side of death, the other side of the grave, the law does not reach unto these people. In its eyes they are dead. They are buried. The penalty has been paid in full. It has no more demand. So Stephen preached, we're no longer under the law. We've died, we've gone through the rivers of death, we're the other side of the grave, we're alive and risen in Christ, we're under grace. And Moses' law was sent to teach us that, to show us that. Moses came to preach of the prophet who should come, who should bring this salvation. But when these Jews heard that message, it took the rug from under their feet. It said unto them that the rituals that they defended would be taken away, that the commandments that they were so zealous to keep could not save, that salvation was not in their ritual keeping. Salvation was not in the outward form. Salvation was not in the outward priesthood. Salvation was but in the things that these things pictured, but not in the things themselves. And they hated this because they had these things and they didn't have the reality of which they pictured. So they hated them who spake of Jesus Christ and his grace. And so many today have the outward. You may have the scriptures. You may have your meetings. You may have your Bible reading and your prayer and your form. You may have your priesthood, as it were, in your ministry and your Bible college. Oh, you've got all the outward form, and you think that by your zealousness and zeal in keeping these things and keeping the meetings going and studying these things that you are saved by them. But they're outward. Unless you understand what that message in the scriptures points to, it's just words in your head. Unless you have the reality of which Stephen spake, you have no more than these Jews had. They had everything outward but nothing within their hearts. They'd heard with the outward ear but never perceived. They'd never seen in the words who these words spake of. They'd never seen Christ. And when they saw him, they rejected him, like their fathers had rejected Moses. Moses came unto them and they said, we will not have you to be ruler over us. And they cast him out. Christ came unto them and they said, away with this man, crucify him. Stephen came unto them with the same message of Moses, the same message of Christ, the same gospel that Moses preached, the same gospel that Christ preached, the same gospel that the apostles preached. It's one and the same. It's not against Moses, it's the fulfillment of what Moses preached. The same message. And they put him to death. They accused him of being against Moses, against God, against the law, and against the holy place of the temple. And having been accused, Stephen stands up and preaches this wondrous message in Acts chapter 7, where he goes through the account of history from Abraham, through the patriarchs, through Jacob and Israel and Joseph in Egypt, through Moses and his deliverance of that people, through David and Solomon, unto Christ. He preaches the gospel. He preaches it from all the scriptures. He shows Christ in these things. He preaches from Moses. He shows how Moses preached of Christ, how the law points to Christ. He shows them how they received the law by the disposition of angels, but how this people and their forefathers never kept it. He shows unto the people how they and their forefathers always persecuted those prophets that Christ sent with his message, and how they murdered the just one, Jesus Christ himself. Yes, Stephen boldly stood up before his accusers, who claimed to be so religious, so zealous for the law, and yet they ultimately despised that law because they knew not its meaning. They knew not its understanding. They saw not in the law how the gospel was in it. They claimed to see. They claimed to know. But they didn't. Because they kept holding on to the form and the outward obedience, when the reality was that that law shuts us up unto Christ and his salvation. And when we come to Christ, we're no longer under that schoolmaster. This isn't a destruction of the law. It's not an undermining of it. It's not a destruction of the temple. It's a fulfillment of it. The law's fulfillment is found in Christ and his sacrifice. It's found in his blood. It's found in the redemption that that blood has brought in. The ransom of sinners. The justification. The imputing of the righteousness of God unto his people through the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the fulfillment of the law. The bringing in of the righteousness of God through the penalty of the law exacted upon Christ as he bore the sins of his people. The law said that the soul that sinneth must die. And when that judgment came down upon Christ as he stood vicariously in the place of sinners, bearing their sins, though he was never a sinner, though he never sinned, he bore their sins. And the judgment of God against those sins came down upon him. And he died. And his blood was shed. And in shedding his blood, he washed his people clean and made them to be the righteousness of God in him. And so the law was fulfilled. And so the law's work was done. When the law's work has been accomplished, it's finished with. It's not destroyed, it's fulfilled. We've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill, says Paul in Romans. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. This is what it was sent for. That a man might be justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These things are not against the law. They are the fulfillment and the establishment of the law. Grace isn't against the law. It's the fulfillment of it. But when the law's work is done, it's done. We don't go back to it. We walk in Christ by grace. Washed in the blood. And so Stephen showed in his reply. So he showed. But he also showed that this people never truly heard Moses. They rejected him. They never heard the prophets who said the same things. they murdered them. They never heard Christ, who came as the fulfillment of that law. They betrayed him and put him to death and crucified him. And their reaction to Stephen when he says these things is to stone him. They stoned Stephen. He says what he says. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. He declared the truth to them. He went to the scriptures, their scriptures, and showed them from the history in those scriptures, from the message of those scriptures, that they pretended to believe just what they said and what they were, and just how they found their fulfillment in Christ. And they hated him for it. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. They hated him for it. They slew him. Now, what's your response to the gospel? What's your response to the grace of God? What's your response to those who come preaching that we're not under law, we're under grace? Do you say they're heretics? Do you say that they're against Moses? Do you say that they're against the law? Do you say that they're against God? Do you say that they're against this holy place, the church? Oh, how often I hear that claim. You preach grace, you preach salvation, you preach justification by faith. You preach that we are delivered from the law, no longer under the law, that the law is not our rule of life, but faith in Christ is, but Christ is our rule, but a new life in him is our rule. You preach these things and the accusation comes up that you're against the law, that you're against Moses, that you're against God, and that you're against the church. The very same accusation made against Stephen. When you read in the Acts of the people's opposition to the apostles, when you read of this account of Stephen, what is it that caused them to stone him? What was the central reason that they stoned Stephen? It was because he preached grace, that we are delivered from the law through the blood of Jesus Christ. That Moses' law, that the message of Moses found its fulfillment in Christ. He preached what Moses really meant. He preached what the law really meant. He didn't undermine it. He didn't attack it. He showed that these things found their fulfillment in Christ. Yet they hated him for it, because it brought a change in what they clinged on to, because they only had the outward form. And so today, if you preach these things, there's an opposition, a hatred. You're against the law. You're against Moses. You're against God. And you're against his church. If you don't hold that Moses and the law is our rule of life, if you don't hold that sanctification is through the law, oh, you're against it. If you preach grace through and through, that grace begins with God, is all of God, that salvation is of grace from start to finish, throughout, that we are perfected by grace, that we walk in grace, that we walk by faith, that we walk looking unto Christ in his gospel, that he is our rule of life, faith is our rule of life, then you are against the law. And they will slay you. They will condemn you. They will reject you. Like they rejected Moses. Like they rejected Stephen. Like they rejected Christ himself. They stoned Stephen. Now what does your heart do? What is your heart saying? Are you full of hatred for Stephen and his message? Are you full of hatred for Christ and his message? And despite your pretense, are you ultimately full of hatred for Moses and his message? Are you full of hatred for me and my message? Does this gospel offend you. They stoned Stephen. Who would you stone if you could? Oh, you might never do it physically, but what is your heart saying? Who would you silence? Whose mouth would you stop? Who would you gnash at with your teeth if no one was watching? They stoned Stephen. But what was the effect of Stephen's stoning? What was the effect? Did they silence Stephen? Did they silence his gospel? Did this bring this outrage to an end? Did this bring this trouble in Israel to an end? Was this the end of the apostles, the disciples? Was this the end of Jesus Christ and his gospel? What was the effect of their stoning Stephen? They put one man to death. But what did it do unto him? He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They stoned him, and he saw the glory of God at that very moment. Far from destroying him, he entered into glory. Far from being to his harm, this was the most wonderful moment of Stephen's life. His mortal body was crushed to bits, and he rose up in his spirit and went to be with Christ his Saviour. Far from being a moment of anguish as his body crumbled as the stones hit him, he rose up in faith and saw his Lord and Saviour glorified on the right hand of God. Far from accomplishing the aim of this wicked people who opposed him, it furthered the aim of the gospel. It saved Stephen. It brought glory. And it brought glory in this message and this account that the gospel should be furthered and go forth. Stephen saw the glory of Christ at this worst of moments. And as a consequence, somebody stood by and heard and saw what was done. Someone whom God would use for the furtherance of the gospel in such a way that it went from the Jews to the Gentiles, to the four corners of this earth, to you and me today, to break down every barrier, every wall, every opposing voice, every opposing word of man, to break down all obstacles that every single person for whom Christ died should hear the gospel in power and be saved. Far from quenching the gospel, this event broke down the floodgates for it to go forth. Because stood by was a young man whose name was Saul. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, who called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Saul, a young priest, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the leader of these people, a persecutor of the church, a hater of Jesus Christ, stood and had them stone Stephen. But as they did, God had his hand on Saul, God forgave Saul, and God purposed to deliver Saul and meet with Saul. Christ himself would later speak to Saul, and Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, was sent forth with the gospel. This event did not end the gospel. It did not end Stephen. It did not quench this grace of God, but it furthered it. Saul, a man who persecuted the church, who stood by and consented to the death of Stephen, would later stand before Christ, who said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And God had mercy upon Saul. And God opened his voice. And God showed him in the words of Moses and in the law and the prophets what these things were. Saul came to see what Stephen saw. And Saul himself, Paul, would come to see the glory that Stephen saw. And why did this come about? Because as Stephen was stoned, he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Even as they slew him, just as when Christ was slain, Christ said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen, as his opponents slay him, says, "Lay not this sin to their charge. Forgive them." They crucified Christ. They stoned Stephen. But Christ would have, from amongst his persecutors, from amongst those who hated him, a great company be saved. And God knew through Stephen that Saul would be saved and would preach the gospel, and that many who hated him, hated Stephen, hated this message, would come to hear and be saved. And you too might reject this gospel of grace. You might contend against it. You might in your heart stone those who come with it. But if God looks upon you favourably, he'll say of you, "Lay not this sin to their charge," because maybe you're a Saul. Maybe you're a young man full of zeal, full of knowledge, full of understanding as you think, but blind to the truth. But maybe God will take your blindness and touch your eyes and open them and show you the glory of Christ, show you the glory of his salvation, show you his faith, show you his death, show you his blood, show you how he fulfilled all that Moses commanded. Show you that there is one saviour of sinners, the man Christ Jesus. This prayer was heard. It was heard. Stephen's prayer was heard in that God saved Saul, who oversaw this very sin, this murder of Stephen. He saved him. He saved the chief of sinners. As Paul describes himself, for Paul knew what he'd done. Paul knew that he'd consented to the death of Stephen. Paul knew that he'd put many to death who went this way. Paul knew how he persecuted the church. Paul knew how he hated the name of Jesus Christ. He blasphemed against the name of Jesus Christ. Paul knew what he did. Thinking he served God, thinking he was zealous in the things of God, he hated the name of Christ and he hated all those who followed Christ, and he put them to death. And you may hate Christ. You in your heart may hate his gospel because it undermines you, it offends you, it cuts you down. You may reject. But if Christ looks upon you as Stephen looked upon Saul, if Christ looks upon you as he did those who put him to death upon the cross, and says, "Forgive him, he knows not what he does. Forgive her, she knows not what she thinks." If Christ looks upon you like that, if Christ prays for you, if Christ prays for your soul as Stephen prayed for the souls of these, then you will come to hear this gospel. And far from it cutting you to the heart to cause you to persecute, it will cut you to the heart and break you and melt you. And the light will shine into the darkness of your heart. And you will see. And you will hear the voice of Jesus Christ calling out to your soul, "Why persecutest thou me?" And you may stone. You may stone. But as you throw those stones at Stephen, at Christ, at the messengers of the gospel, you will come to see through his death, through their death, through the death of Christ, through the grace of God, through the prayer of God on your behalf, that salvation is rich and free. That salvation is not wrought because what you did, what your works were, What you did in this was to cast a stone, but what God did was to forgive you freely by his grace. You cast a stone. You said, away with this man. You said, you will not be a ruler over me. You said, crucify him. You spake words of hate. You cast a stone. You murdered. You trampled underfoot. But he said, forgive him. He knows not what he does. He said, lay not this sin to your charge. He said, I love him. I have laid down my life for him, and he will follow me. He said, follow me. He was full of grace when your works were full of sin. Have you heard his voice? Have you seen him who suffered for sinners such as you and such as I? They stoned Stephen, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen.